This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Leadership in Education show. This is Barbara Dale Jones kicking us off this afternoon. And the guest in the show today is Zonke Mputulo, who's a young leader from Leap Science and Math School in Harankua. Welcome, Zonke.
Thank you, Barbara.
So the reason we've asked you in today, Zonke, is to talk about several things. The one is your role as a school leader, and I should just mention to the listeners on the show that you are 25, is that correct?
Yes, I am.
And I think for many people that will surprise them that a school leader is as young as you are. So partly we want to talk about that today, but partly we also want to talk about your role in developing young leaders and young teachers for both your school and other schools. So welcome, and let's get going by first of all talking about your journey as a young leader in education. What brought you to the point you are at today?
Right, so I studied in Cape Town. I am from Cape Town, from the community of Kwalanga. And so I was a Leap student from the first Leap school that was there serving the community of Langa. And so my background really was shaped by my experience at Leap, because coming from a township school in Langa and then entering Leap, those were two different experiences. I always say if it wasn't for my strict mother, I probably would have dropped out of school before I entered high school. That's how much I hated school. And so coming into Leap, where a whole new shift happened in my life, where, for an example, I had teachers who held high expectations for me. They didn't question that I could do maths. They told me that with hard work I could. Secondly, university was not just a dream, it was a reality. It was a point of just choosing which one I had to go to. And so for the first time in my life, I was challenged to really think about my own dreams. And I had elderly people that cared about me, that didn't tolerate me like other teachers do to children, but they showed me love, unconditional love. And that was new to me, because even back home, that wasn't really visible. And so here I was in this heavenly space where I felt to myself, God, children from Langa need to know that it does get better, you know, and they don't have to drop out in primary school as I wanted to. And so I knew in my years of Leap that I needed to make sure that other kids in Langa experienced this heaven that I was in. It wasn't perfect, obviously, but there was something in there in Leap that made me feel like I belonged, and that made me feel like I was in a family space. And so it wasn't really clear that I wanted to become a teacher, but I knew that I wanted to work with young people of my own community. And so from then, I had conversations with John, who was principal at that time, who kept asking me, what is it that you wanted to be? And because I did debating and public speaking, I thought, well, obviously law. And it was him asking deeper questions like, what is it that really makes you angry in your own community? What is it that you're prepared to die for? And obviously at 17, that question didn't really make sense. But the more I thought about the things that made me angry in my community was the fact that children were not loved, with the fact that teachers were there tolerating children, but they didn't really love them. And so growing up in my township school, I always felt like this can't be it. There has to be something different. And that's where the idea of teaching was planted in my head. And at that time, Leap was also starting the Future Leaders Program, which is a teacher training program that we'll talk about later on. And so together with a group of other five Leap graduates, we embarked on a journey where we started the Future Leaders Program. And the program really wasn't really structured at that time. It was just another Leap idea that John had. And the main aim was to train young people back into loving the profession of teaching, to telling a new story in education, and have young people who would be able to speak truth to power, who will love children unconditionally, and will learn to see children as individuals as well. And obviously, who will end up leading Leap schools. And so in that journey, where my relationship with John and some of the teachers, they continued in them holding high expectations and challenging me even more. And when you have people in your life that constantly do that, you start doing that to yourself. So I started challenging myself and asking myself questions like, so where to now? You know, I've been doing this for second, third year. What is my role at Leap, and what is the bigger role that I want to play in the organization? And that's why I went up to John and I said, I need a new challenge. Leap is too comfortable. I need something new to do. And lucky for me, Leap 6, the campus that I'm currently based at, was about to open. And so at 23, I moved to Pretoria for the first time in my life, and I went to start up the 6th campus of Pretoria.
Which is in Harankua,
yes,
is that
which
correct?
Is in Harankua,
yeah.
Which serves the community of Harankua, Soshanguve, and the communities around there. And so obviously that didn't make sense to a lot of people. How can a 23-year-old come and lead a school? But then again, you know, it was because I had that belief in myself, and because I had adults around me who were willing to mentor and had belief in me, that for me, it felt possible. And it wasn't an easy journey. I mean, you walk into a community that knows nothing about the school that you're talking about. I remember we had to stop in robots, handing out flyers and talking to people, because you can't say, go to our website. Most of the people in the community don't even know how to use the internet. And so we had to go door to door, selling the school, talking about the school. And that was another experience on its own that humbled me, going into someone's home, really talking about my own journey as a LEAP graduate. And I think somewhere, somehow, something shifted in that community, because as much as they didn't believe that this 23-year-old can lead a school, but when they saw it happening, slowly the community of Garankuwa started seeing that our own children can be like this 23-year-old in a few years' time. And so some sort of seed was planted in that community as well. And so our school had our first grade 12s last year, and we did very well considering the challenges that we had when starting the school. And we got a certificate from the Department of Education as a top school in Garankuwa. So I'm very proud of that journey. And think about it, if that idea wasn't planted in my head that I could do it at 23, then it wouldn't have happened, you know? And so, again, I kept saying to myself, other young people need to know that they don't have to wait 10 years for them to start leading, that they don't have to wait for an elderly person or their mentor to tell them that, okay, now you have permission to lead because you've earned your stripes in the organization. Young people can lead. Given the opportunity and the right support, they can do it. And that's how my interest into the Future Leaders Program started again. So I wanted to be more involved in making sure that young people, through my own experience and other people's experiences, can lead at a very young age.
Okay, so let's take it a step back. You've spoken about John, and by John you mean John Gilmore, who's the founder and director of LEAP Science and Math Schools,
yes.
A highly entrepreneurial leader in his own context. And maybe if you can explain to the listeners what LEAP schools are like, what sets them apart from other schools? What is the vision? You've given us some clues already, and you're talking about developing children to be able to speak truth to power and teachers who love children. But maybe if you can just give us more detail about LEAP as a philosophy and as an approach.
Right. So the LEAP schools are intervention schools, and each of the six schools that we have around the country serves a specific disadvantaged community. We have three interventions that we focus on, and the first one is academic intervention. And that comes with the understanding that obviously our children that come from disadvantaged communities, when they enter high school, there's that gap, especially in your math, science and English subjects, because that foundation isn't really there. And so if we know that we want to bridge that gap with our children, we have to do things differently. And so our hours are long. Our school starts at 8, it ends at 5. We have Saturday schools, we have holiday programs, and all of that is to try and build work ethic in our children, because we know that when they get to university first year, most of them get excluded, not because they don't understand the content, but because they can't deal with the amount of work that is there. And because our high schools don't really train our learners to have that work ethic and to deal with the amount of work that is needed in varsity. And so that's the first one. The second one is the social intervention. And we say, if we are serving a specific community, then we need to make sure that we enable, empower the children of that community to know that they are the ones that are going to change that community. So just like when John asked me, what is it that makes me angry about my community and who's going to change that? Who am I expecting to come to Langa and change the situation in there? So the responsibility was put back to me. And he didn't say, well, you're going to need a lot of money to go and do that. I didn't have to wait and say, one day when I have money, I'm going to go back to change my community. The responsibility was there at that moment for me to change my community. So twice a term, each LEAP child is placed into, goes and visits a social development site that they chose. So they went around the community and they chose social development sites that they are passionate about. That includes your old age homes, your hospices, your disability homes. And twice a term, they go there and they actually find ways of sustaining the project. So it's not just going there and cleaning and just giving time, but they're really giving themselves to say, what is it that we're learning at school that we could go implement at these social development sites? And then lastly, is the emotional intervention. And having grown up in the township myself, I know how everything happens in the township around me. Someone gets raped, someone gets stabbed, someone gets shot, and somehow it's normalized, like it's okay, it happens all the time, therefore what are you crying about? And I know that a lot of the elders don't talk to young people about these things anymore. A lot of the elders don't engage young people about the things that are happening anymore. And so I remember in grade 9, for the first time, I was asked the question, how do you feel? And I couldn't answer that question, because all the time I'm used to just numbing my feelings and just going along and surviving every relationship that I had or surviving every situation that I was in. And so for the first time, I was asked to activate my feelings, which was a difficulty in me. And that's what township children are going through. And we can't ignore that. You can't expect a child to solve for X when a child is thinking about a mother that was being beaten up while she was watching the whole night. And so we use the life orientation subject to create peer voices where young people can talk to each other about the things that are happening in their own homes and in their own responsibility as well. But it's not just some pity party where they come and share and cry. The responsibility is placed back in there. So you have a mother that's an alcoholic. How is your lifestyle? No, I only drink during holidays. So you basically like your mother. No, I'm not. I only drink during holidays. My mother drinks all the time. But do you see the parallels in there? And so as a young woman in that space, I have to come in with my own experiences around how am I dealing with my understanding of my own relationships with elderly people, my own femininity. How am I defining that? And how am I dealing with my own relationships with regards to men? How am I defining all of that? And those young girls want to know that. It doesn't help me stepping back and saying, if you delve for pregnant, you're out of this school. It doesn't help when we keep on saying that to these young girls. But all they're hungry to hear is, how as a young woman am I defining my own life and my own journeys? And how am I getting through growing up in the township and overcoming all those things? Those are the conversations that they want to hear.
Sorry, my mic on there. I mean, so quite so long. Don't get, just very quickly, is that a general thing? And Barbara, you'd also know that the youngsters, I don't know, in certain parts of the schooling system are not taught to feel. What do you think about this, as opposed to what do you feel about this? You raised that. I don't know if my question is directed exactly, but do you think that's a general gap in our education system?
It is, mainly because I think we all agree, I think even the Department of Education, that socio-emotional skills are very important for our learners. But somehow we always assume that teachers already have those skills. And we don't focus on the fact that we have teachers in schools who lack those skills.
Because they've been through the same experience you have.
And we still have teachers who didn't really want to become teachers. Hence, I talk about teachers who tolerate children, who don't really love them. And so the sad part for me is that we are very concerned about what the teacher can teach more than who the teacher is. So we talk of the fact that if in order to change the education system, we need to focus on standards and we need to make sure that all teachers meet the standards and are qualified and competent, which is important. But at the same time, those people spend more time with those children more than the parents do. So why aren't we concerned about the value systems of these teachers, who these teachers are and what self-consciousness do they have? Because that's what shapes the personality of the children that they have in their classroom as well.
Mm. Barbara, true, eh?
Absolutely. And it's extraordinary work that's being done by Leap, by Zonke and her team. And, you know, I think this is a very innovative approach, having young leaders who are leading a school. But the thing I'd like to pick up on next is how you're inspiring other young people to pick up the mantle and in turn take action, in turn influence other people. And so perhaps you can tell us a little bit about the Future Leaders Program and the Global Teachers Institute that I know you're involved in, if you could explain that to us.
Right. So obviously we all know that young people aren't really attracted to teaching. And those who do try and come into the profession don't stay long because they become very frustrated in the situations that they get put in. And they want better. They want to go and make money. They want to be recognized and they want to feel as if they're growing in their professional life. And that's fair. And so we need to look as schools and look at ourselves and say, what can we do in our own schools that could turn the profession around? And so if you remember when I spoke at the beginning, when John spoke to me about joining the Future Leaders Program, he didn't sell the profession itself. He sold a vision, a bigger vision. So I wasn't just becoming a teacher, but I was someone who's going to change something in Langa. That's why I joined the Future Leaders Program. And so the more we sell a profession to young people, the more it's going to get unattractive because they're going to think, well, my job is just to always just teach, just getting to class, and no one's going to ever notice that I'm there. But if you're selling to young people that you're going into a community and you're going there to make a difference, a classroom, it's just one of the ways that you're going to do that. So if you look at the Leap philosophy, we say, if we talk of the means to an end, the end product is a child who's, you know, speaks truth to power, who's honest, who's self-conscious, and we use academics to get to that, not the other way around. And so it's the same with the young teachers that we're trying to build. When we induct them, professional development for us is, who are you? What values do you hold? What is your current role in your own community? You want to come here and teach young people, but you're still having six girlfriends out there, and these young people see that. So it's those honest and difficult conversations that are going to push young people to think, I'm doing more than just teaching, solving for X here. I have to teach and show my own values and my own morals to these young people, because that's what they're watching. Not so much what I'm saying, but what they watch my behavior as. And so the Future Leaders program has grown now, and we have 45 young interns in each of the LEAP schools, all of them starting to become teaching through UNISA and placed at a LEAP school to do that training in there. And you know, having been the first person to graduate from the program, I think it sort of showed that it's possible, it can be done. Because with our own problems with UNISA and studying through distance learning has been a problem as well. But now that we've got graduates of the system, it's really grown, and we have site managers, we have structures into it, and it really makes sense to the young people why they're in the role in the first place.
But that's leadership, isn't it? I mean, you don't sell the, what did you say? Don't sell the profession.
Don't sell the profession.
Sell the purpose behind it.
Exactly.
Sell how you change the world through it. So it takes a leader to sit on the other side and sell that to yourself, for example, Zonke. I mean, another person would not have taken you down this route, perhaps, because he or she did not have a leader mentality, but rather a teacher mentality.
Yes.
Become a teacher, you know. Hold on, what can a teacher do? Sell that. Our previous show is a business masterclass. Then we encourage youngsters to become entrepreneurs in townships and so on. You're actually a competing profession in that sense, but the one that sells the best vision will recruit into this new world of either teaching or being an entrepreneur. Maybe you can be a teacher and an entrepreneur. Why not? You know? Anyway.
Well, I think what you're seeing in this program is some social entrepreneurship at work here. So these are young entrepreneurs who are creating social good, social profit. But I just want to, for a moment, drill into how do you, as a young leader, sell the vision? You've spoken about how important it is to sell the vision and not the profession. But what do you actually do to sell that vision? How do you speak to the learners in your school?
I'd say through the life orientation space. So I make sure that I'm always visible in the life orientation, because that's where you get to know the individual learners. And for an example, the recruitment of the Future Leaders program, we do it while the learners are still at school. So instead of us waiting for the learners to magically want to become teachers, we say while they're on grade 11, grade 12, you will be a great asset in the school. You would actually change something in the school. So you take your naughty students, the ones that like to argue much, the ones that like to challenge the teachers, and you say, you know what? If you were in the Future Leaders program, you could change exactly what you're complaining about. So instead of picking the A students and the good students, we look for students who are unafraid to challenge me and say...
The mavericks, you know.
Yeah, so the ones who are going to say, what you're saying is not true, I actually don't agree with that. So instead of wanting to trample that voice down, which is what we do as teachers most of the time, you celebrate that voice, because a child is testing there, and the child is trying to see, so what is she going to do when I start challenging her? Is she going to, you know, put me down just like my mother does, or someone else elderly in my home does? Or is she going to, you know, engage me? Because that's what children want. All they want is engagement. And what we do mostly as teachers is just put that down. And so through the life orientation space, but also through the one-on-ones, you know, having break times, finding learners who don't really talk to anyone, or the learners who are always trying to get their attention, but pull them close and say, come to a meeting with me. Come, let's go talk about LEAP somewhere else. And they're like, me? Why me? Like, aren't you a LEAP student? Let's go talk about LEAP. And so for the first time, this child is saying, so someone, she believes in me, that I can come in front of elderly people and start talking about LEAP. And so it's those small things that we underestimate as teachers. And I think that's what made me the person that I am, actually. Every time John or any other person that mentored me at LEAP risked and put me forward, I excelled. And most of the time we fear the risk and we put young people at the back because they're going to embarrass us, or they're not going to cope and all of those things. But every time we've risked, for an example at LEAP, if a visitor comes, with no doubt I go to the welcoming team and I say, we've got visitors, see what you can do. I don't tell them what to say. They might say something that might embarrass the school. Tough. But the fact that the children can see that they're being trusted with such a task changes them. You know, the way they carry themselves at school changes, the way they are. So it's those small engagements that we as teachers sometimes look over. And teachers would say, I've got a CAPS curriculum to finish. I do not have time to be engaging children in class. I do not have time, which is fair. We've got a curriculum to finish and we can't keep on having conversations in class because we want to show learners that we care. But where are we during break time? We're in our offices, staff room, talking to other teachers while learners are outside wanting to have that conversation with us as elderly people. And so the seeds are planted while we are in, while the kids are in high school. And so by the time they join the Future Leaders program, they already have an idea of why are we here. And it was so beautiful for me because in our own campus, and I think in two other campuses as well, the learners that joined the program were three learners that were A students, like got distinctions in their grade 12 results. So they could have gone to any university and enrolled for any degree, engineering, you name it, but they chose to be teachers. And so for me, that means something. The fact that we're not just attracting students who couldn't get accepted in varsity and therefore think, okay, let me just do teaching so that LEAP can just be there for me. But we're attracting students who could go anywhere else and do any other course, but still choose to come into this profession.
So it's great cause for celebration. This is what the profession needs. This is what education and our country needs. I just want to then talk to you about how you're working. You're developing this pipeline now of young leaders, and it's interesting your language. You call them young leaders, not young teachers. So it's a future leaders program. And are they all in the pipeline for LEAP jobs, or are you working with other schools and creating a larger system of teacher development for the sector itself?
Right. So the Future Leaders program is structured in this way. We have interns at the school who have their mentors who are teachers that are currently teachers at that school. And then we have a site manager that looks over the whole site. And so through that, we're not only affecting the young leaders themselves, but the mentor who's been teaching for the past 10 years and maybe, you know, has gotten used to the way he teaches and is a bit stubborn, but here's this young person coming now and challenging this teacher and saying, but why did you do that in class? Why did you not pay attention to that child? So teachers are currently now being put on the spot all the time and kept on their toes, actually, because they have people in their classes, young people in their classes who are constantly watching and seeing what can they learn and what can they challenge in that. And so through that structure, the whole school gets challenged because now teachers are going to have to up their game because you are responsible for someone in your class and in that school as well. But the Future Leaders program is also part of a bigger program, which is the Global Teachers Institute, which the Global Teachers Institute is mainly in three aspects. So the Future Leaders program is the pre-service training, and then we have the in-service training, which are the teachers that are at the schools, and then we have the leadership component, which focuses on the school leaders. And so this whole institute plans to transform a whole school using those three entities that are in there. Okay. And so everyone at the school is challenged and everyone at the school is asked the question, why are you doing what you're doing?
Zonke Mpotula, you're inspiring. I hope that you still have a broader vision that drives you. So you were taught to buy into vision. At your young age, to achieve what you have achieved already, you must be driven by a very big vision still. And we don't have time to explore that. But thank you so much for spending time with us today. Thanks, Barbara. Any final comment? We've got to close up.
I just think that we've heard an urgency in Zonke's voice today. There's a crisis to be dealt with, and we need young leaders. And she's an inspiring example. So I think we have much to learn from that. Thanks, Zonke.
Thank you.
And keep leading, continue leading, and developing future leaders for this country. We need it. That's it. Leadership Transformation Platform from 12 to 3. Look forward to being with you next week again. Continue creating movement as leaders out there.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company. This is CliffCentral.com.